Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com join us. And Stoughton, I don't know if you've looked into this, but I don't know if you're going to sacrifice a chicken or something, because right now Cleveland, which used to be the city of losers, has a little bit of good karma after the Cavs won, and they're trying to carry that over into baseball.
Yeah, they sure do. I don't think that's how that works, though, unfortunately.
Oh, well, you should. Buddy, what's wrong with sacrificing a chicken? Of course, to the PETA fans, they might not like it, so maybe a rubber chicken, whatever you want. But, you know, who knows? You could have a little fun with it. That would probably be a big draw on BlueJaysNation.com if you videoed it.
You know, that's a good point, yeah, especially if it was a live one, yeah.
nice. let's look at the pitching matchups. I like the decision to go with Estrada, and no offense to Stroman, I just think Estrada is a better pitcher right now. What do you think? I haven't seen who's starting in games 2, 3, and 4, but is Stroman going to go in 4 in this series? Have they went that far yet?
No, they just announced actually Stroman will go in 3 and Sanchez is going to go in 4. It sounds like they're going to sort of monitor. So they're still monitoring Sanchez's innings a little bit.
Okay.
I think that's what that's all about. You know, he's only going to be available for the one game in the series. Basically, I mean, you might see him in a cameo in the bullpen in a game 7. Hopefully, it obviously doesn't get to that point. But yeah, I think I'm with you on starting Estrada in game 1. I think that's a really – he just looked so good against Texas. He baffled everybody. It was a piece on Fangraphs that you know, collected all the worst swings that the Rangers made against Estrada in that game, which was just hilarious. If you're a Jays fan, probably not so much if you're a Rangers fan. And also sort of made the suggestion, which I thought was a good one, that, you know, when the pressure is on in the playoffs and expectations are higher and you're gripping the bat a little more tightly, that really plays into the hands of a guy like Estrada, whose game is, you don't know what's coming. You don't know if it's that change up or that fastball. He's changing, you know, elevations. But mostly it's about, you know, the great arm action that he has on the changeup that, you know, makes it so difficult to pick up, whether it's coming in at, you know, it's 81 miles an hour or 89 miles an hour or whatever it is that he throws. You know, I think it's a small explanation, maybe not a super thorough, but I think as good as anything I've heard about why he seems to have had such great success in the playoffs. You know, it's just when the stakes get higher. He's the kind of pitcher that guys just don't want to face. So I think it's a great job by the Jays to choose him going for the start in game 1. And also, he was the guy who seemed to be the most bothered by disrupting his routine when the club went to the 6-man rotation, and this allows him to stay as close as possible to his routine, and you know that obviously is a thing I think that affected him, and you know he said publicly that it didn't, but if you look at the numbers and you look at his performances, I think it did a little bit, so that's probably part of the reasoning as well. So yeah, can't go wrong. Marco Estrada, I think gives him a great shot against a tough pitcher in Corey Kluber.
And yeah, I was going to ask you about him. 18 wins, 9 losses on the season. What will the Jays hitters have to be most leery of at the plate tomorrow night when he's on the mound?
I mean, Kluber's just sort of like he's a classic, you know, power pitching kind of guy. He's got a great slider. He's right now he's hurt a little bit, which might give him a bit of an advantage. They've hit him well over the years. You know, he throws hard, but he was a little bit off in terms of his velocity. I think it was in the 93 range as opposed to 95 in the start against Boston, but he made up for it with the fact that the pitches moved so well and he was commanding well. You know, it's a guy who was a Cy Young winner 2 years ago. Obviously, great pedigree as a pitcher. He's a tremendous, tremendous pitcher. But the Jays, I think they scored 7 runs in 10 innings off him this year. I think he had one start against them last year that didn't go particularly well either. I think it was five runs, 4 earned. Over 5 innings, you know, they've handled him well, which is such a small sample and again such a great pitcher that you don't want to, you know, you can't count your chickens before they get sacrificed. But a little callback there. but yeah, no, I mean, I think they're really in tough against Kluber, but it eases up on them a little bit going deeper into that rotation. They have a bullpen start or / rookie Mike Clevinger scheduled for game 4, but that's a game where you might see Kluber come back because, you know, they're just that desperate for starting pitching. Josh Tomlin and Trevor Bauer being the other guys to start for them, and Bauer was tremendous on Canada Day, really carved up the Jays in a start in August when they didn't have Batista or Donaldson or Tulo. So you never know what to get from him, you know, in general, and it's hard to gauge what we'll see from him in this series, but that should be an interesting matchup as well.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Jays and the Indians start the ALCS Friday night, 6 o'clock Edmonton time. Then they'll play a Saturday afternoon game at 2 o'clock our time. Then, of course, Sunday they're off. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 games in a row in Toronto. And, man, you look that far ahead. We know they're definitely at least four games. Is the Clevinger versus Sanchez matchup seems like such a massive advantage, at least on paper, for the Jays on the mound.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, you hope that it gets to that point. You hope that they don't go to Kluber, though. I guess that would mean, if you're a Jays fan, that if they're turning to Kluber in Game 4, that means they probably already lost at least a couple of games earlier in the series. So that's probably a good thing, even though that would change that matchup. But they're also keeping Clevinger available in the bullpen for the first three games of the series, so they may use him and have to go to a true bullpen start and just go through everybody, which, especially that being the middle game of three games in a row that they're playing in Toronto, means burning a lot of relievers. And this is, you know, it's not September anymore. You don't have 40 guys in the bullpen anymore, so that could be a real significant disadvantage for Cleveland if they have to do that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think no matter how you slice it, things are that sets up well for the Jays. They have a lot of advantages in this series. I think it's still going to be really tough. I think Cleveland is a tough matchup for them. There were a couple great pieces on FanGraphs today talking about how the Jays really use their fastball a lot, and Cleveland has struggled against the fastball, which it gives the pitchers an advantage for the Blue Jays. But on the other hand, Cleveland runs the bases really, really well, and that's something that the Jays have had a lot of trouble containing this year. And Cleveland's just kind of got a little bit of magic in them sometimes, it feels. So I think, you know, as much as you see advantages for the Blue Jays, it's hard to get super excited until you really see them on the field getting those Ws and locking them down.
Travis, do you expect him to start at second base tomorrow night?
Yeah, and he was telling reporters today that he feels good. He expects to be in there. So, I'll take his word for it, even though you never know sometimes with guys about their injuries. He seems to be doing all right. I think he was talking about how he was more so than anybody, you know, praying for a sweep of Texas, because that meant that they'd have a few days off and they wouldn't have to deal with the question of whether or not to replace him on the roster, because if you replace him in the DS, he would have been ineligible to play in this series. The only reason Francisco Liriano is eligible in this series is because it's different rules when you have a concussion. And so Travis got lucky there that the Jays swept and that they didn't have to replace him on the roster. And it looks like that's going to pay off for the Jays, too, because he seems like he's ready and healthy and ready to go.
So the rules are basically, if a guy gets injured, his foot, anything but his head, and they take him out of the roster, then he's not eligible. So basically they do that so teams don't just fake injuries if they want to suddenly get an extra lefty or somebody out of the bullpen for one game, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? So that makes sense. But the concussion is, if it's determined by the doctors. Now, does Liriano have to go through league concussion protocol to get back in this series? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I believe that he does. I mean, I don't know what the actual tests are, but I think there's definitely a process and a protocol to go through. But it sounds like, you know, everything I hear is that he's on course and he'll be eligible to pitch in Game 2, I believe. So he'll likely be out of the bullpen, especially now that they've announced that Stroman is going to pitch Game 3, which I think is maybe going to be a question that I've been pushing a little bit. You know, I like the idea of Francisco Liriano getting a start. I think he looked really great, but obviously he looked terrific in the bullpen in the wild card game. Didn't really get a sense before he went out injured in the game that he left in Texas. But yeah, I mean, having an extra left-hander in the bullpen there should be good for them, and a guy who can go multiple innings, so he kind of can't go wrong with that, I don't think, either.
Who do you like tonight in Game 5?
Yeah, that's a tough question. That's a tough question. I mean, I'm Rich Hill, I guess, is going for the Dodgers. But Max Scherzer obviously is incredible, so it's. I'm just going to sit and enjoy it, frankly. I really appreciate, after watching the Blue Jays' end of the season, the wild card game, those games in Texas, I'm just really appreciating being a neutral and watching good baseball when I can when it's other teams playing. If I had to pick, I'll say Washington, just because that's so strange, and I guess I'm kind of rooting for them a little bit and rooting against the big market. Because Jays fans, you know, it's the big markets like Chicago that the TV networks really want to put in prime time. That's the reason the Jays are getting games, you know, at 4 o'clock Toronto time, 2 o'clock your guys' time, which I think upsets people a lot, even if it's understandable. It's sort of a TV thing. So,
well, I love this. I will say I'm actually a big fan of the Saturday afternoon game. I prefer that time, right? So I know it might stink because the Tuesday and the Wednesdays start early, but I'd actually take that just because I love Saturday afternoon baseball more than I like night baseball on Saturdays.
I'm with you on that too, actually. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it's baseball. You should be playing it in the day, but I get why people are upset. when they're at work and they have their team playing.
Well, hey, get a job where you can leave work. You know what I'm saying? So, something tells me you're not working during the afternoon games, or you are, in quotations, working while you watch it. Were you ever an Expos fan? I asked that because I know LT on our station is a huge Expos fan, and so he kind of is, you know, secretly roots for Washington, but he's not totally committed because he feels guilty about it. There's no connection there at all. Like, I love the Expos, but I don't find any reason to root for the Nationals. I actually am kind of, I'd love to see an LA-Chicago series just because, you know, Kershaw to me is always an interesting guy to watch on the mound, even though I know his postseason numbers are still pretty good. They're just not as dominant as his regular season numbers, but I'm kind of rooting for the Dodgers strictly because I'd like to see Kershaw again.
Yeah, I'd like to see him redeem himself and sort of end that narrative as well. But as the Expos, you know, Expos were kind of my second team. I think that was the case for a lot of people, especially, you know, the NLAL thing, and when, before interleague play, it was a lot easier to have an NL second team. But yeah, I don't make that connection to Washington at all either.
Andrew, we look forward to talking with you next week as the Jays back on the diamond tomorrow night against Cleveland, 6 o'clock start, Edmonton time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Talk to you next week.